Our country has a great need, God, for spiritual life, and everyone in this room. We have a great need for you. Please, blessed are they that hunger and thirst. They will be filled, and so fill us, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Okay. You may be seated. Turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 1. Before we read that, I'll read this. "Don't hold on to me," Jesus said to Mary, "I'm returning to my Father." He was indicating that after he ascended, she'd have access to even stronger love relationship. Why? Because then he would literally never leave her. He would be not just in her arms sometimes, but in her heart always. Here's the gist of what I think he was saying. "Mary, I can understand why you don't want to ever lose your mentor and your friend, but if you really understood what was going on," I like that phrase, "if you really understood what was going on, you'd realize that after I ascend, you'll have me all the time and forever. The way I am right now, Mary, there is a chance you could lose me. Somebody could put you in jail and I wouldn't be there. But if I ascend to the Father, you will have me forever. If somebody puts you in the deepest, darkest dungeon, I'll be there with you. You'll have that intimacy. You'll have that fellowship. Nothing at all will ever be able to take me away from you." St. Augustine said, "You ascended from before our eyes, and we turned back grieving, only to find you in our hearts." Jesus is telling Mary, "You can let go of my hand, for I give you something better than my hand in your hand. I can put my heart in your heart." This is read, we can read this in principle in Ephesians chapter 1, and I'd like you to read this portion, verse 17. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." I believe that we are part of something much greater than we could ever imagine. I think of I'll make a little diagram, very simple. When Jesus was here in the Gospels and he dies and he ascends and he's here with the throne ministry, we are here in history, and he has a ministry to us, as we read, throne ministry, that has a huge impact and great influence on millions and indeed billions of people through history, where he has done and is doing with us in this life, things of great importance. And here it says that we should understand it, realize what it is. Verse 19, "What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe?" Great power, that is, to us. And what kind of power is it? I put it in 3 points here. Holy Spirit, (clears throat) This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the great power of God that dwells in us, the Spirit of God that lights our candle, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 20. And we believe, we see, we believe. We have this new mind, this faith, understanding, the Spirit of God. Wow. So we have three points here that we want to share today. Read with me, please, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. Now, the right hand in government is that second guy, the second guy. Maybe we have a president or a king, and then we have a prime minister, the second guy. God the Father. And then the God the Father raised his son and set him at his right hand and has given him the authority. There's an authority that's been given to Christ that is directed to us. And that authority that has been given to Christ is felt here. We feel it. We understand it. We walk in it. We know what it is. We taste it. It is ours. It is ours by privilege. By being a believer, we have inherited or received from God this kingdom. When we read the book of Acts, which we'll look at in a minute, we see this working. And it is amazing. Yes, okay, go to verse 20. 21, far above all principality. Let me say something about that. There are powers, and they are called principalities. We have human beings in places of government, but there are also demons that have authority and positions of power in the atmosphere, in the world that we live in. We also have angels that are principalities and powers. So some are evil and some are good. And there's a contest between the angels and the demons. And we are here in the middle. We are human beings made from the dust with very limited knowledge compared to an angel. Very limited understanding. Actually, a lot of unbelief is in the world. And also blindness and deceit and pride. But Christ has been put far above. And I was thinking, like, what does that mean, far above? It'd be like if you go into the physical world, you have the stratosphere. Well, I think it's 70 miles. Is it 70 miles to outer space? When you leave the gravitational pull, you leave the atmosphere of the planet, is 70 miles. What powers and principalities are there in this world? Christ has ascended far above all principality and power. He's in another dimension. He is on a throne where there is no contest. He has a throne where he has overcome everything that is in this world. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I'm far above every dictator, every demon. I am far above Satan and his powers. I am far above every angel. And though we are on the same side, Jesus, all the angels are subject to him, of course. But I am far above anything and everything you could ever imagine. Everything. I am far above all principality and power. in verse 21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. What names? Einstein, Washington, Shakespeare, Karl Marx, Toyota, Vietnam, United States of America, every name, any name, Atlantic Ocean, Pacific Ocean, human beings, anything, any name, universe, whatever you, anything you can label, anything that has ever been made that has a name. He is far above every name that is named in this world and that which is to come. This ministry of Christ on this throne with great authority is extended to us. We have inherited by his grace a throne ministry. Mary, don't touch me, don't hold on to me, don't keep me here. I know you love me, but I will go and I will send my love into your life. By my Holy Spirit, number two, I will also give to you words. Words, important. Words make up our life. Words make up our internal life. Words make up our identity. Words are taking up our sense of who we are. Words are what we can make an atmosphere around us with words. The Spirit of God and the Word of God spoken. The Word of God brought life. The Word of God made the universe, and the Word of God dwells in you and I. For Jesus is called the Word of God. Man must not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of God's mouth. Whose mouth? God's mouth. Who is God? Jesus Christ. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and from there he gives out words. What words? Words from the Bible. Words the gospel. Words of forgiveness. Words of counsel. Words of the great I am. The words, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The words of life, holding forth the words of life, Paul said when he went out preaching. Preaching the words of life, and that's why in these different countries where we have by the last 40, 50 years, by God's grace, people have gone out with a ministry that isn't from human beings. It's a ministry of Christ from his throne with authority that is behind them and authority that is in them. Because they have found and received by God's grace, and everyone in this room has received a ministry from Christ, that our eyes would be open, that we would comprehend the breadth and length and depth of this ministry, that we would realize what it is. The third thing that we get from the throne ministry is the body of Christ, and I want to put in here the word gifts. 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 I know these three kind of blend together, but we will look at it now. Just turn to chapter 1 and verse, verse 22. And has put all things under his feet. He has put all things under his feet. I want to show that to you in a minute. He has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. To the church, wow. The church, I love the church. Human beings, people with problems and troubles. Somebody said, the church is filled with trouble. Yeah, you should have seen it before those people were saved. They're just a little bit of a criminal now. Before, they were a greater criminal. They lie a little bit now, but before, they're lying all the time. They were stealing. They were stealing before, but now they steal. You know, the church isn't filled with perfect people. It is filled with people who God has decided by his grace to save us. And then, of course, there are people in the church that may come that are not saved, but we pray for them to be convicted and drawn to Christ and believe and be born again. And indeed, that happens. And it may be slow growth, but it happens. Hallelujah. But let us say it very clearly today that the church is God's gift to the world. It is very sad when we read in the book of Revelation chapters 2 and 3, the seven churches and what condition they were in. There were two of them that were in pretty good condition, Smyrna and Philadelphia, but the other five were not in very good condition. And I think in that God is saying to us, the church has so much authority from the throne of Christ, but it's very possible that the church is somehow, and I'll put it over here, is not filled with the Holy Spirit. It grieves the Holy Spirit. It doesn't have the Word of God. It has forgotten or displaced the Word of God. They're not teaching the Bible. They're not into the Bible. They haven't found the fire that's in the Bible. They have ripped the Bible apart in little pieces, cut it up with their scholarship and their academics, and they've criticized it and kind of put it underneath their mind. Their mind of reason has kind of ridiculed and torn up the Bible so it has no authority. It's a literature from men. But we have found that actually Jesus says that heaven and earth will pass away, but not even one dash of the Hebrew alphabet will be gone. Heaven and earth will be gone, but not this book. It is forever established in heaven. This is the Word of God that God gave us so that we could live a different life and that we would have the authority of the throne of God in our hearts and in our mouths. So what does he say here? Verse 22 says, and has put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head. And verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him. That's incredible. The body, the fullness of him. The church, instead of body life, we'll just say they have church life. You know, in the sense of an organization or a structure, a mechanical organization that operates by the rules of human beings. Human beings are running that church. Human beings are making the decisions. Human beings are critical of each other and of the Bible and of a lot of things. And maybe they have hearts that are looking for God. If we seek him, we will find him. And if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, God could put in the church the spirit of revival, the spirit of fire, the spirit of Pentecost, the spirit of God moving. He could do that. But we must come together in unity and pray for that to happen. That old church, you know, because I used to live in Europe, and the churches are generally all state-run. There's a state-run Lutheran church in Finland, and it's all organized, and it's a political party. It's a politics and all kinds of things. And then there are people that have broken off, and they said, we are looking for God. We want God. Let's assemble and pray. And so there's a little break-off group in the Lutheran church, a little group of people, and they get criticized by the bishops. But there's some pastor or priest who's a man of God who's seeking God and looking for the fire of God to come. Hallelujah. And we have met those people. And we are together with them in the spirit with the ministry of Christ. from the throne. Lastly, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Acts. Not maybe lastly, I don't really want to end because we're just starting. And I hope this is provoking you in your hearts and minds. This is beautiful. Acts chapter 6. Oh, wow. I don't want to go too fast. Boy, this is good, isn't it? Oh, wow. Man, there's no way that we would ever be where we are in our lives and in our faith unless Jesus would be ministering to us on a regular basis and helping us get over ourselves and get beyond our reasonings and feelings and learn the cross and live by faith and look to God to fill us with the Spirit, give us words, and baptize us into the body. He gives gifts to the body. He that ascended, let's read it, please. We'll go to Ephesians 4, then we'll go to Stephen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? We could say he descended first into the grave. He went into the lower parts of the earth. And he that descended, first he had to face his enemy death. And he went down to hell to proclaim his victory. He did not win souls in hell. He only made a proclamation in hell. Hello, I have descended here and I have overcome you. I have overcome death. I have overcome sin. I have overcome the judgment of God upon the human race. And I have justified them. I am ascending up to my Father. When I ascend up, he didn't say this, but I am. When I ascend, it says it there. I ascend up into heaven and I will send gifts. Right? Look at it. It says, he that descended, verse 10, is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. Have you been edified? I have a little story by a missionary was asked what compensation he had found in his work for all the sacrifices he had made. And he took from his pocket a letter worn with much handling. And he read this sentence from an Asian student. And the student had written to him, but for you, I would not have known Jesus Christ, our Savior. Every morning, I kneel down before God, and I think of you and pray. That, said the missionary, is my compensation. We can say that over and over again. What have we gained? Immeasurable amount of love and joy and faith and people and gifts of God that have come to the body. How did he? Look at him over there. Wow, what a gift he has. What a blessing. Look at that young lady over there. There's something about, she's like shining like an angel. How'd that happen? The throne ministry did it. Christ is on a throne. And he's doing that in the body, in the church. This is his will. It's his will that people would have this testimony and evidence around the world, everywhere. This is his work. Let's turn now to Acts chapter 6, please. And Stephen is in a lot of trouble here. Stephen is a spirit-filled servant. He's not an apostle. He's a trustee or a deacon. He's like a usher, spirit-filled servant. He's a brother. He is not an ordained pastor in that way or an apostle. But they could not resist, verse 10, the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Have you ever met somebody who just is wise, loving, authority is in his voice, in his heart, he's calm, he's at peace, he's just a spirit-filled brother. And when asked a question, like there's something beautiful about his way, it's somehow normal, natural, transparent, simple, but cuttingly wise and very gracious. I think James Kirby, whom we're celebrating his passing on into eternity today, was that kind of a man who was the principal of our school, and somehow he had this kindness and this authority in his life, in his heart. Stephen, what's going on here? He is in trouble. Verse 11. Then they suborned men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." They slandered Stephen. They slandered him. What's going on in your life that's hard? What's going on in your life that you just say, I am so fed up. I am so ripping angry. What's going on in your life that you say, I can't take it anymore? I'm done. I'm finished. I'm so angry. I'm so upset about this thing. But look at what happens. Verse 12. They stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. And they set up false witnesses, which said, "This man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Then he spoke in chapter 7. Then he spoke in chapter 7. That's important. What's going on here? This is the throne ministry is happening. That's what's happening. It's something from heaven that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father and he's overcome all slander, all lies, that he is not subject to those lies. He's greater than all of it. Yes, Stephen will be stoned and he will be the first martyr in the church. Yes, he is misunderstood. Yes, he is slandered. Yes, there's a lot of energy against him. But there's something else there. Jesus is there. And Stephen starts to speak, and he goes in a brilliant way, if you've never read it, all through chapter 7, given the history of the Jewish people from the very beginning with Abraham. And he hits all these points. And it's like a brilliant history that he has because he's got a gift. Where did the gift come from? The throne. For he that descended, ascended, and gave gifts unto men. He gave the Holy Spirit. He gave this amazing book to us. And Stephen is just ministering and ministering. And you know what's happening? There's somebody there in the room. There's somebody there standing there. And he's listening. And what's his name? Saul of Tarsus. He's watching. We do not know, because it is not written, what happened in Stephen's ministry, but we know that Stephen had a ministry that came from heaven and that God was with Stephen, and the same thing with you and I. We have received something that develops and grows. You start to understand the Bible better. You have gifts that are given to you by God's grace, and we have authority from God in this. The end of chapter 7, they're about to stone him. And it says, verse 56, he says at the end, he was full for 55, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven. He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Wait a minute, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. Yes, he is. He is seated, but somehow, we read here, he stood. And many Bible commentators say it's kind of like Christ is like making the point that the ministry of Christ to Stephen and Stephen being martyred, but have some greater power going on. He has a greater understanding than his enemies. He has a greater spirit than anything that is in the world. He has a ministry, and Jesus is standing in honor to Stephen. And Stephen goes to him, and Jesus stands and receives him. I just want to say today that I am very much helped by this in my heart and mind when I think about this, because what we are all part of is something extraordinarily important. It's not for sale. Our flesh wants to do something else. The world mocks and ridicules and cannot see. When they get an opportunity, they love to do the same thing they did to Stephen. Slander it, destroy it, quiet it down, silence it, remove it, attack it, do everything we can, they possibly can. But if we can stay in the Spirit of God and in the Word and in the body, the authority of the ministry of the throne of God is the ministry that is overcome and is far above all principality and power. And when missionaries go out with this kind of authority and ministry, then they bear fruit and they have a compensation. And it is, I know that I didn't do this. I know that God did this. I know that nobody could ever do what we are seeing happen. I know that Jesus has been raised and ascended, and he is doing this amazing work. Beautiful. Wow. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we feel and see the falling away from the evangelical churches in America. We're not happy to say that, but we have to face it. Young people have not found Christ. Pastors have left the apostolic teaching. They've left their love for the Bible, or maybe never had it in the university or seminary, wherever they studied. And yet you are raising up people that have found Christ and know him and have a ministry that has an influence. Please help and lead us. Guide us, Lord. Bless our schools, our churches. Pour it on. Minister to us and meet needs. There are many. Teach us in Jesus' name. And then anyone accepting Christ today, please come to Jesus as you are in humility of heart. Say to Jesus, I need you. There is nobody. There is only dead religion and dead leaders. There are dead people, and I'm dying myself. I only have one living Christ, one living Savior, one answer for my life, and he's the one I come to today by faith. Say, Jesus, I believe in you. Anyone, please raise your hand. Anyone here in the auditorium, say yes to Jesus. I need him. Yes to Jesus. Anyone at all? Yes to Jesus. On the internet, yes to Jesus. Let's bring our neighbors here. Let's bring in people off the street. Let's bring in people to the church so they can hear and have their lives changed and affected by his ministry, the ministry of the throne of God. Yes, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.